I want to greet you in the precious name of Jesus, the one who is the head of the church, the one who gives life. I'm happy to be with you this evening. Although I told one of the brethren that I am not used to preaching to such a large congregation, so I do have a few butterflies in my stomach. But pray for me that God would have His way as I share His message tonight. I might just give you a brief introduction to my life. I actually was born here on Hilltop Road, that farm that sits way back in. And we lived there till I was probably 6 or 7 years old. And my dad wanted to farm with my oldest brother, so he bought a farm in Rarisburg area. It was a very hilly farm. We were there 3 years. And our hired boy, 18 years old, was killed in a farm accident. Marlon Herr, Malin Herr, twin brother. So my dad says, well, this place is not for us. So he bought a farm at Bethel, just 1 mile west of Bethel on Old 22. And we lived there then until I was about 17, and he bought a farm in Tioga County. And not long after that, William Hackman's parents bought a farm land joining up there. And so I know William from way back when he was just a small boy. From there, I found my companion in Ohio. And we got married and lived out there for a while. But the Lord has been good. He blessed us with 8 children, 4 boys and 4 girls. The youngest is now 30 years old, and he has Down syndrome. And a real blessing in our home. Hitherto has the Lord led us. And I think of the name of our church, that's actually the definition. And we went through quite a bit as a congregation as well. But I trust tonight as we look into God's Word, we can receive truth and inspiration from His Word for our never-dying souls. The subject, the title of my message is Meditation Acceptable to God. And as I studied this lesson, I must confess, I do not personally do enough of meditation on God, on His goodness. And I trust that the message tonight will stir our minds to meditate more on God. And the theme verse for tonight is taken from Psalm 19. Verse 14, it says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I trust that your prayer is the same as the psalmist. That the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in His sight. And recognizing that He is our strength. He is our Redeemer. What is the definition of meditation? Wikipedia says, meditation is a practice where an individual uses a technique such as mindful or focusing the mind on a particular object, thought, or activity to train attention and awareness and to achieve a mentally clear and emotionally calm and stable state. And as we think of meditation, we know that there is a lot of, should we say, unwholesome meditation. Think of yoga and the meditation that goes along with that. And but that's not what we're thinking of. We're thinking of meditation that's acceptable to God. I'm going to look at a number of different scripture verses, and I'm not sure if I'm going to give enough time for you to look them all up. I have it pretty well written down here because I wanted to make sure I cover. I actually did cut out some of my message because I figured if I'm not careful, we'll be here 2 hours, and I'm sure you don't want that, but. There is a lot. There's a lot in the scripture about meditating. Luke 6:45 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. So what we're thinking about, or what we're out of the abundance of our heart, in other words, what we're meditating on, like a evil man will be thinking of evil things, and that's what will come forth. But a good man will be thinking about good things. So let's have our meditation on that which is profitable. It says, what's in the heart is going to come out. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Also in Romans 12:1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. As I beseech you, or I urge you, brethren and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. And as we think of sacrifices, you know, in the Old Testament, they offered a lot of sacrifices. They slayed the sacrifices. But here it's talking about a living sacrifice. And what does that look like in your life and in mine? We need to crucify self. Die to self. Die daily to self. Not respond to the suggestions of the flesh. But we need to die to self and be alive unto God. That's, it says, I beseech you by the mercies of God that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. In order to do that, we have to meditate on God. And on what he wants for our life and our experience. In other words, we do not conform our pattern after the world and the practices of the world, but we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. We have to be born again. Allow the Lord to change our thinking, change our habits. And it's only as we do that, and as we do not conform to the world, and as we're transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we can be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's by dying to self and living for Christ. We must simply stop doing the things the way the world does. And that's not done on our own strength. We need help. We need to meditate on God and ask Him to direct our life. We might say, well, how can we do this? It's with simply meditating on the Scripture and emptying ourselves of self and pride and so on. And as we ponder, this is a quote I ran across. It says, as we ponder, picture, and personalize God's Word, we begin to look at life through His lens, view the world from His perspective, and our thoughts become happier, holier, and brighter, and so do we overall. Our life becomes brighter, and we meditate on things of God. And I guess not too long ago I was thinking of this message and of meditating and so on. And if we, it's easy to meditate or focus our mind on the surrounding evil, sin, corruption in the world. And sometimes we get too caught up in that. And we're not meditating on things of God the way we should. And oftentimes we know the results of that. This writer also said, how do we practice biblical meditation? He says it's by noting, quoting, and devoting ourselves to whatever passage of Scripture we're reading or studying, based on the premises that God's Word is flawless, faultless, and unfailing. And I like that thought. We need to practice biblical meditation by noting, quoting, and devoting ourselves to whatever passage of Scripture we're reading. And for myself, too often, yes, I should have my devotions. I read over it 10, 15 minutes. And afterwards, I think, what did I really read about? And I find I didn't really meditate the way I should have. And sometimes I will go back and reread it and then concentrate. But meditate on what you're reading. And as we do that, it will cause us to give God more honor and glory that's due to His name. Also, I believe meditating on God's Word helps the mind to heal. We won't be as depressed. And it restores our soul to more positive thinking as we consciously meditate on God's Word. And God will help us to do that. I believe it also lessens anxiety, possibly reduces stress, does it not? And maybe the most important thing that I think it does is give us peace. You know, as we meditate on God's Word and on His goodness, on His love, It should give us peace. No matter what happens about us, we're at rest, knowing that God is in control. He knows it all. Because if we don't focus, or if we focus on the world and the evils about us, and I'm talking from experience, it can get you down. It can get you depressed. So let's meditate on God and His Word. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. There again, meditating, and let it dwell in us richly. Are we experiencing that? Do we experience that throughout the week as we go about our jobs or whatever it might be? Are we letting the Word of Christ dwell in us richly? And it is rich if we just meditate on His Word. And then as we do that, as we meditate, then we will be able to, it says teaching and admonishing one another, we'll be able to admonish each other, strengthen each other, and we'll be singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It says singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And that's a beautiful picture. You know, as we meditate on God and what He has done for us, a person, if they truly meditate on God's goodness and greatness, a person just can't help but have it overwhelming or overflowing from his life and just singing and praising God. Where are we today? James 3:14 says, "But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom or meditation descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. And where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." That's quite a contrast here. If we meditate on the evil, bitterness, not willing to forgive a brother or sister, carrying a grudge, that's of the devil. It says this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the meditating on the wisdom that is from above is first pure. What a contrast. It's peaceable, gentle. It's not harsh. Easy to be entreated. Am I easy to be entreated? It says full of mercy and good fruits. The fruits will be coming forth, will be the fruit of the Spirit. Without partiality and without hypocrisy. And 18 says, "A fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." What a blessing that is. 2 Corinthians 10:4, it says, "So weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. And I meditated on that a bit. It says, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What are our weapons that we're using to fight this battle? In Ephesians, we have a verse that says, talks about taking the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Them are the weapons that we're using. And if we're using that, then the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Do you have any strongholds in your life? Areas where you don't have victory. Areas where you're struggling with, maybe to love a brother or sister. Could be a number of different things. God is able, with the warfare that we're using by God's grace, to pull down them strongholds as we surrender our will to His. And notice it says casting down imaginations. Oftentimes, I believe differences between brethren and sisters in the church happen because of imaginations. You know, we're afraid to go and approach them. But we know just why they did what they did. After I was ordained to the ministry, I was told God ordained me to straighten out some of these things in the congregation. And a lot of it was imaginations. And I declared by God's grace that I was not going to take any accusation from any individual unless they first used Matthew 18. And I asked the individual, have you used Matthew 18? Well, no, that's your job. But eventually, things got worked out between them. And it wasn't near what they thought. And many times, if we communicate, then the imagination will disappear. When we meditate on God and what He wants us to do, it'll solve a lot of problems, I believe, if we're willing to take God's way and ask Him to direct our steps. Talked about bringing into captivity every thought. What about your thought life? To the obedience of Christ. Sometimes our thoughts run away with us if we allow it to. What are we thinking about? Are we meditating again on God's word? It's just bringing into captivity, and it's only done by God's grace and strength. We can't do it of our own. But if we find ourselves thinking evil thoughts, call out to God, help me. I don't want this. Take it from me. So the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Isaiah 23 or 26 verse 3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. What does it really mean to have our mind stayed on Christ? I think it means that we need to keep focused on Him. Regardless of what circumstances may come our way, Our minds are stayed. We're stable. We're settled. We're rooted and grounded in His Word. And we need to have our minds stayed on Him. Be conscious of His presence. Realizing He is right there to help us. And His providence over us. You know, when we think of God, He is high and holy. Many times I just stand in awe that He is interested in me, a small little grasshopper, if you would. Basically nothing. But He is interested. No matter how high and holy He is interested in each one of us personally. So let's be meditating on Him and allowing Him to have His way in our heart and life. There was another quote I ran across. This writer said, "Reading and hearing the Bible is like eating it. It enters into our body and spirit when we meditate on what we've read and heard. We're chewing it and digesting the material until it's assimilated into our system and throughout our personality and actually becomes us or becomes who we are." Let's just think about that. If we meditate on God's Word, we make it a part of us. We become more and more Christ-like. We allow it to, we soak up all that we read and hear and meditate on God and His Word. Bible study was never meant to merely be merely academic. It's the Word of God is, our Bible study is, or and should be, relational, transformational, and it's not simply studying the book. It's fellowshipping with a friend. Is that where you're at this evening? As you meditate on the Word of God, it's not just reading a book, but it's meditating and fellowshipping with a friend. Is he your friend? As you meditate, do you connect personally with him? Do you allow him to speak to you as you meditate? What about when we wake up at night? What are we thinking about? What's the first thing that comes to our mind? Do we think about God? If we can't go to sleep at night for some reason it seems like the older I get, the harder it is for me to sleep all night. But what are our thoughts? Are they on worry? Worry about the next day's activities, or worry about, you name it, could be a host of things. Or is it fear? A lot of people, I believe, deal with fear. Frustration or anger. We're angry at the world. I know of an individual that seems like when you talk about the president, the government, he just becomes basically angry. Why don't someone do something? And frustration and fear. Most of our stress comes from the way we respond, not the way life really is. And someone once said, most of the things that we worry about, I think it's, I heard the percentage, it's a high percent of the things that we worry about never come to pass anyway. So when we wake up, throughout and also throughout the day, whenever, let's meditate, and we will find that rest, that peace that God wants us to experience. Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." That's what we should be meditating on. And what a, you know, if we just stop and consider this, things that are true. There's so much false, so many lies out there. How quick are we to grab that up and, well, I heard this and this and this. And sometimes it's when we hear something about another brother or sister. Maybe if we have a little bit of a, we don't appreciate them anyway. We hear something about them and, oh yeah, that must be true. Because, well, look at all the other things they're doing. Brethren and sisters, let's be careful. But let's focus on whatsoever things are true and honest, just. There's a lot of injustice in the world. And whatsoever things are pure. The world is so corrupt. Their minds are so impure. Let's not let it rub off on us. We're in the world, but let's not be of the world. But let's have our hearts and minds sanctified. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, not evil reports. Too often, I hear an evil report, I'm tempted to focus on that. Okay, who can I tell first about that evil report? The evil about someone else. God forbid that we do that. But let's focus, let's meditate on God's word. It says, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Meditate on the good things of God. And then, in closing, our theme verse again. Psalm 19:4. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for the many truths in your word. We thank you, Lord, that you are God. You are a great and high and holy God. And yet you're interested in each one. May we, as we study your word from time to time, may we meditate on your goodness. May we open our heart for you to speak to us as we read and meditate and allow you to have your perfect will and way in our heart and life. We ask you to bless this congregation as they labor for you in this community. Just direct each heart and help us all to be watching, waiting, and longing for your return. In Jesus' name we pray.